Start your day, the Torah Way, Northwest London. Sunday, 29th August, Kaf Aleph Elul, Rabbi Yossi Moore, Common Tishri Shilas.
I hope mine was small enough.
All right, good morning. I'd like to thank all the organizers, Mr. Iskovich and all the others which are behind the scenes.
Joel Iskovich.
And I would like to share with you a few interesting shilas that are coming our way. Don't forget, we've got a new year, and for us in Yiddishkeit, a new year means a month of inspiration. That's what really gets us through the year. And we're faced with many shilas, and I would like to take the practical ones from the main practical ones that come out from what we're faced with. It's the first day of Slichas. And I think number one shaila, which we've possibly even thought about this shaila, is the timing of Slichas. So we know that Slichas, you know, it used to be that we wake up early in the morning, you know, early morning, 5:30, 6 o'clock the first day. And that's how it used to be. It's also become popular to daven by Chatzos. Chatzos is, let's say, 1 o'clock, 1:01, 1:02. So it's also become popular to daven by Chatzos, which is 1 o'clock, Berech 1 o'clock. But here comes the next shaila, is that it's even more practical to daven at 10:30 in the evening. You know, it's quite a practical time at 10 o'clock. And the question is there a way that we can go and daven slichas at 10 o'clock in the evening, 10:30 in the evening, maybe 11 o'clock? Could we start? Is there any room to say that perhaps slichas could be said maybe in the evening? You know, maybe waiting up to 1 o'clock in the morning is quite difficult, and only then starting slichas, especially in Aseret Yemei Teshuva, is quite difficult. How do we deal with slichas? So the starting basis of this shaila of when you start doing slichas in the evening is really quite mefurish. If you open a Mishnah Berurah, you don't have to go too far in the poskim. You can actually see the starting off point seems to be quite severe, but we'll have to deal with this correctly. The Mishnah Berurah is from Tafkuf Samachay, see if you've got any base. He says that it's also to say Slichas and Yud Gimel Midas Balaila. There's only one time in the year that you're allowed to say Yud Gimel Midas Balaila, which is Leil Yom Kippur. As we know, Leil Yom Kippur, we say Slichas, and that is the only time the Mishnah Berurah says that it's also to say Slichas and Yud Gimel Midas Balaila. What's the reason for that? Because there's din, there's a lot of judgment in the world Balaila, and therefore the Mishnah Berurah says the word Osa. That's how he terms it. It actually comes from the Mate Ephraim. If you look inside the Mate Ephraim, he does get a bit more sharp. He says, you know, of the Mekomos, that places that the Minig is to say Slichas at night, he says, Roi Levatel HaMinig. It's correct to be Mevatel it. And someone who's there and he can't get out of it, then he should sit there and not say anything. That's quite harsh terms. That's one side of the story that you see from the Mogen Avraham, quite a mainstream poskim, Mate Ephraim. And you've got the Mishnah Berurah brings it down. You feel quite safe to believe that it's either in the morning, right, early morning, late in the morning, or it's by Chatzos. But the evening, you get the impression from the mainstream poskim that there's not much of a way forward. But more than that, they use the word Osa, which is a bit of a problem, right? Osa means that basically you can't do it. Here comes Ramosha Feinstein, Hagon Hagod Ramosha Feinstein. He writes in Igros Moshe, and he saves the day, really. He says that Umistaba is very logical that it can't be that it's a real Issa. Since we don't find it in Shas and Poskim, it's not something which is brought in Shas and Poskim that you can't say Yud Gimel Midas Balaila. It's not a Gemara. It's coming from Achroinim, which are quoting Divrei Kabbalah, Dinim, come from Mogen Avraham. Therefore, that says Rav Moshe Feinstein, it's very hard to believe that the term Osa means literally Osa. The term Osa must mean avoid it. Says Rav Moshe, it just means that it hasn't got the koyach of Yud Gimel Midas. We know that there's a special haftocha. There's a special, Hashem gives a special haftocha, a promise, that when it comes to the Yud Gimel Midas, when it comes to saying Hashem Hashem, Loi Yachzor Reikom, it will not go for nothing. Right? That's a special haftocha. Every time a person says Hashem Hashem, Hashem Hashem, but Tzibur in the right time, he's got a special haftocha, which we don't find at other places, says Rav Moshe. So Rav Moshe says, it can't be Osa to say Hashem Hashem Balaila, But it won't have this special Haftocha that is said by Hashem Hashem. So Rav Moshe says, when it comes to Shas HaZchat Gadol, he's actually talking about a one-off. He says, perhaps we can say, look, people need inspiration, that's definitely our job at this time of year, and therefore, if a person's not able to do it, Chatzoy, so in the morning, therefore, as a one-off, he says, perhaps you can get away with it to do it in the evening, and he says that would be okay. But he actually adds, he says, you need to advertise, you need to put a notice out that it's a one-off and that next year is going to be back to normal. That's really interesting how he ends off that tshuva. He says, because he's answering someone who said that this year is a big onus, people are scared to go out their houses, that was the case of Rav Moshe. And after the whole long tshuva, he did allow it, but he said, look, you're not going to get this, you're not going to get the skula of Hashem Hashem. And secondly, he said, only if it's done for this very year. So that's what you find in Rav Moshe, but I think the main achievement that Rav Moshe did was that he took away the wording of Issa. Were it to be that it's Osa, then it's very uncomfortable to go ahead with it, either way, whatever it is. He's taken away the word Issa based on the fact that it's not brought in Gemara. That's what he's done. But he does go, he says it's only a one-off. Now, the next stage you want to go is if you want to do it every day, every single year, so that's more difficult. There is a Sefer, and the Sefer is called, an interesting Sefer, which we don't usually hear of, it's called Machshavos Ba'itza. Machshavos Ba'itza comes up with an interesting idea. He says, yeah, I've seen that B'Shas HaZchat Gadol, there are minyanim that do slichas early on, and what could that be based on? He says, Chatzois is definitely okay to say slichas, but who said the Chatzois is the Chatzois of here in London, or here in Manchester, wherever you are, which is 1 o'clock. Perhaps it's referring to the Chatzois, which is in Yerushalayim. Lots of times we work around Yerushalayim, and therefore, similarly, he wants to claim that it works with Yerushalayim Chatzois. Chatzois in Yerushalayim, you've got to check it, you've got to Google it, but it's roughly probably about 12:30, or maybe you call it to 1, you'll probably check it instantly. And therefore, we are 2 hours behind, so already from 10:30, call to 11, right? This Sefer says that it's okay to go with the Zman, which is in Yerushalayim. Now, don't forget, we have to say that it's not the mainstream way of looking at things, right? Let me just ask you, that when it comes to Leil Pesach, right? So we all know that we try as much as possible to catch Chatzos, right? We're looking on our watches, 1 o'clock, and no one ever suggests that after all it's a Dairaisa, right? We want to make sure, at least the first night, we want to make sure that we get Chatzos, and no one's going to suggest that you have to make the cheshbon of Achilas Leil Pesach, that it's got to be with the Chatzos Yerushalayim. No one's going to start saying, right, at 10:30 you've got to be finished Achilas, you're barely home at 10:30. So it's definitely not the most makubal way of looking at things, but it certainly gives room for leniency where a person, you should know, when it comes to the maskana, we're basically gone through the topic, and you can see that the mainstream place can basically start off saying it's osa to say slichas balayla. Rav Moshe, what he achieved was that by watering it down, by not using the word osa, he says, it can't say it's osa, he said, it just hasn't got the maila of Yudgim Midas. It hasn't got the chashivus of Yudgim Midas, which Hashem was maftiach to listen to. And he allowed it because people need inspiration. So what should that? Someone told me, you know, he wasn't able to do slichas. He knows it's not going to work for him. So what should he do? He's tried it out. It doesn't work. So I think the best of the person is his best judge at knowing how he works. Because you can see what it's all about. And after all, it does give certain inspiration by attending slichas, be that it doesn't give the haftocha of Hashem Hashem. But at the end of the day, there are sforim. You've also got this machshavas ba'ita that says also that you work with chatzos Yerushalayim. So there are makoros for it, but you can see the mainstream posting were definitely indicating the chatzos part and the morning part. Don't forget Rav Avadi Yosef. He says, you know, if a person can't manage before shacharis, you can make a minyan after shacharis. Va'afilu b'mincha, you can make slichas b'mincha. There's no problem. The main issue is to avoid from tzitzak kechavim until chatzos, where it's already mufurish in Mogen Avraham and the Kabbalah, the Kabbalah, that there would be my issue of din. Okay, so let's move on to the next
issue.
Go on. Sorry? From Chatzos, you're good to go. In fact, they even discuss, how about starting Ashrei before Chatzos? You know, every minute counts, right? So you want to go to bed as quick as possible, and this is quite serious, every single day. You want to maybe, and perhaps Lecha Hashem et Stoker. So you should know, Rav Shlomo Zalman Oibach allowed Ashrei, Kaddish, and Lecha Hashem et Stoker all to be said before Chatzos. So he gave that lean. It does help you 5 minutes.
No?
Sorry? about Tfilah, you're right, someone Tfilah a long time before. But it does help, Rav Eliashiv wasn't so keen on it, but the Maaseh Rav Shlomo Zalman was okay to start Ashrei and Lecha Hashem Tzedakah to start it before Chatzos, that he was okay with, so that does give a bit of leniency. But the Maaseh, after Chatzos certainly is okay, all the way through till Tzeisa Kechavim, from Tzeisa Kechavim until Chatzos, that's where you get a bit of an issue where the Mishabrut seems to say it's a problem. The next one is that with Slichas, it's very important that straight after we say Hashem Hashem, there are like a few psukim which we sometimes think that they're not so important. The main things that we say are the Kein of the and we say the Slichas. And actually, the Sefer Hasidim writes that the main part of Slichas is actually the psukim. He says, I've seen people say just the Kein of the Kein, missing out the psukim at the beginning, and he says V'tofsim l'satofel, they take the tofel. And they miss out the Ikka, which is the Ikka Baruch HaKodesh. These psukim were formed with the Baruch HaKodesh. Therefore, the Sefer Hasidim makes an emphasis on making sure that you're going to catch the psukim, which is straight after Hashem Hashem. Also, we've got to know what we're saying. I mean, just to say things correctly, I was just this morning, just a few hours ago, listening to Pazanumi was saying, we say, what's the Lashon? Paneino, right? We said, Paneino el Hatlois. Right? We just said that. Pnei no el hachatois. So the person next to me just in a rush. El hachatois ve'el hachatois. Right? Pnei no. In my mistake, it said pnei no el hachatois. El hachatois ve'el hachatois. And also to the sins. Obviously, we mean to say va'al. Right? So also, the post can say that we've got to be careful how we say it. We're not used to saying these nusois. So we've got to make sure how we say things. Okay. Right, so well, I have to move on. We've got lots of shilas to get through. And in a short amount of time, and we're going to move on to a shaila already regarding Rosh Hashanah. Just before that, we have to know that we're getting close to a very geshmaka year ahead of us. We've got the Shnas Hashmitah, and you should know that the Shnas Hashmitah, Rav Eliashiv and Rav Shlomo Zalman both said that when it comes to making Kiddush on Leil Rosh Hashanah, really, when it comes to the Shnas Hashmitah, it's a mitzvah that we're able to be mekayim certain mitzvahs, certain restrictions, certain kedushas. We should be able to make a bracha shaycha yonu, the fact that we're able to now keep Shemitah properly. Says Rav Shlomo Zalman Eliashiv, it could die to be mechavim when you say shaycha yonu, leil Rosh Hashanah, when you make a shaycha yonu, by Kiddush, you make shaycha yonu on the Rosh Hashanah, then you should be mechavim that's also going on the Shnas HaShemitah. Rav Shlomo Zalman used to say, it's a v'hu ha'orim l'choyna. Again, it's not something we hear too often, because it's only negeah, it's only relevant the Rosh Hashanah era of Shemitah, but he thinks it's a good point to take into account that the Kavona of Shaycha Yonah should refer to the fact that we're coming to a very geshmaka year. In fact, the Chasam Sofer says something very interesting. He says that in Shnas HaShemitah, the Satan has got less kitrug, he's less in action. He hasn't got as much koyach in Shnas HaShemitah. Similar to Yom Kippur, because the Torah calls Shnas HaShemitah Shnas Shabosin Yelochem, similar to Yom Kippur, which it says, Shabbat Shabbosin Yelochem, Rinisem was Nafshoi Seichem, use a term of Shabbosin. And just like Yom Kippur, the Gemara says in Yuma, what does the Gemara say in Yuma? The Gemara says in Yuma that Eliyahu told Rabbi Huda that you should know the Satan on Yom Kippur hasn't got the curve to be Mekatrig as much. The Gematria of Ha Satan is 364. 364. The amount of days of the year is 365. So the Gemara says that the Satan's got the curve to be Mekatrig only 364 days of the year, but the other day, being Yom Kippur, he's not able to be Mekatrig. Says the Chasam Sofer, similarly, when it comes to the Shnas HaShemitah, which has got a sort of a resemblance to Yom Kippur, it also is limited in its action. The Satan's limited in his action to how much it can be Mekatrig in the Shnas HaShemitah. Okay. Let's move on to a shaila, which when it comes to Shnas HaShemitah, really, the only thing that really it means for us is, number one, that when we go shopping to Tesco, so then when it comes to buying fruit and veg, then we should really try and avoid produce of Israel, because then we have shailas that it can come from Kedushas Haaretz, and we'll have an issue with Shemitah, and you should know. Now it's only relevant to vegetables. Only in the Negeah to vegetables, potatoes, carrots, and all that. But really, with fruit, it only starts a long time later, well into the winter. That's posh, because the Shemitah with vegetables, it works with the Lekita, with the picking out. But when it comes to fruit, just by picking a fruit doesn't give you Kedusha Shvi'ez, because it grew in Shishes. by fruit, it has to be, it works with the growth. But the main part of the growth is only a long time later, so it's not really relevant. So
flowers.
Basically, sorry?
Flowers?
No, yeah, so that's also a long time later, so that won't be relevant. All these things just is limited to herbs and vegetables. That's from now, this is already from a few days after Rosh Hashanah, you can already start finding herbs which come from, it's very quick. Potatoes and carrots actually take a bit longer, it just takes a couple of months actually. But the Kedusha can start straight away, so you never know where things are coming from. It's always worth noting already from Rosh Hashanah. Another thing that us in Chutz Laaretz, which is relevant for, is it comes to Prusbel. Prusbel means people lend money to, so let's say you lend them £1,000. Really, the Torah says when it comes to Shemitah, right, you can't claim. Finish. That £1,000 is gone. You haven't got a claim. Now, but there's a Hillel was Masakin that you can write a Prusbel, which we'll see. And the Prusbel, you'll be able to claim the £1,000. But the Prusbel is not this year. Meikadim, we say that the Prusbel is at the end of the Shnas HaShemitah. The Shemitah is Meshamat at the end of the year, and therefore, nothing is needed till the end of next year. Some people you'll find they will do a Prusbel this week. Why would they do it this week? Well, I thought the Shulchan Aruch says it's only Meshamah to the end of the year, because the Shittas HaRosh that holds that although it's Meshamah to the end of the year, but you wouldn't be able to claim already from the beginning of the year. So to be Mekayim Shittas HaRosh, some people do it. It's not really common such a practice. So we follow the Shulchan Aruch entirety in this Shaila, and therefore when it comes to Prusbel, most of us wait for next year to write a Prusbel. Coming on to Rosh Hashanah, I find a very practical halacha when it comes to this year Rosh Hashanah. I'm told that here in London, you have the privilege that you have the bin collection to come every single week. Is that correct?
Yes.
I think you're very fortunate. Where I am in Manchester, it's once every 3 weeks. And we have a big increase in all different types of animals because of that. And you should consider yourself very fortunate. And the fact is that if it comes every week, it's something to think about for next week, Rosh Hashanah. What day is Rosh Hashanah next week? Tuesday and Wednesday. I'm told that the bin collection is on Wednesday morning. Am I correct?
Yes.
Think about this. Tuesday morning, you could be coming out your house with your kittel, with your whatever, and you notice, hang on a second, tomorrow's Rosh Hashanah, and my bin is still in my front garden. Now, oy vez mia, this is not going to go down well. If the bin collection is not going to take it, I don't know if they come to your front garden. Did they come all the way? Kindly come all the way and start taking it?
Nah,
that's not going to work. Okay, that's not going to work. Right, okay. Maybe in the olden days they used to do that. Now it's all finished. Right, so you've really got to put it in where the eye, with this eye-catching, so that the person can come and take, the bin collection can come and take it. Can you take, even with the evidence, you come out on Tuesday morning, late afternoon after the meal, and you realise, well, even let's say, Leo Shani, you come after Maariv and you realise, hang on a second, tomorrow the bin collection is coming. Can you take out the bin for the next day? This is a very practical question. And the answer is, it's a real issue of muksa. We've got to deal with muksa, we know how to deal with it. What's muksa? Rubbish, once a person's maksadas, inside the rubbish bin, is a person's maksadas, and it's muksa. To move a rubbish outside your bin, in the outside bin, it would be an issue on Shabbos or muksa. Not only that, so you will say, okay, I'm not touching the rubbish inside the bin, I'm only wheeling the wheel bin. Although we know the concept of bosses. Not only does the item muksa become muksa, it affects the supporter of the item. So since the bin is supporting the muksa, therefore the bin has the same halacha as the muksa item itself. As we know, many different cases with the tray, with the Shabbos tray, with the candles, and lots of cases that we know that affects the bosses, affects the base of it, and therefore the bin would, l'chareh, be an issue of muksa. And it's got a severe type of muksa. It's not a kelish melachta le'issa, which you can move the tzarech guf from kaimai. It's got a severe type of muksa, which you won't be able to move. Therefore, it's worth noting to try and make sure that before Rosh Hashanah, it's taken out. Now, if it comes to a b'tieved and you're not able and a person forgot, so now, to kick it with your leg, which is always okay when it comes to muksa, I don't know how practical it is, especially if you've got some stairs. It might not always work. If it works, then fine. You can do it with your leg, with your knee, that's not a problem. Muksa can always be moved with your leg and a knee. But, when need be, then a person can ask a non-Jewish person to kindly take it out for him, even wait up for the person, I don't know, on Rosh Hashanah day, you don't want to start waiting for the bin man. But if a person is able to ask a non-Jewish person, that definitely would be the way forward, that's definitely okay. Yeah, the Mishabur and Reishayin test explains that Muksa has got special leniency when it comes to Amri La'akum, that would be okay. But that's an interesting thing to know about. Let me tell you something, which is even more interesting to note. So, you think you're very... practical person, Taki, very practical. Erev Rosh Hashanah, you take out the bins to make sure that right outside, no problem. Erev Rosh Hashanah, it's all done and dusted Monday afternoon. Okay, it comes Wednesday, second day Rosh Hashanah, the bin collection comes. After davening, you're coming home at 2 o'clock, and you see that your bin, your empty bin, is right outside. And you think, hang on a second, may as well take it inside. What's the problem taking it inside to my front garden, Choshem? And I'm even doing a mitzvah, I'm stopping, you know, people are passing by and they can't get through, it's not kashmak. And you can be taking the bin right into the front garden. It's an interesting chat over here, that there's another concept in Hilchas Muksa, and that is called Migur des Katsoi bin Ashmoshes des Katsoi l'kul yema. Sounds like a scary thing, but it's very straightforward. Anything which had the status of Muksa when Shabbos came in, even if it loses its Muksa, the empty, it's been emptied, or it's not relevant anymore, the Muksa, it stays in its state the entire Shabbos. You have wet washing, really wet washing on Erev Shabbos. If when Shabbos came in, it was wet, it stays Muksa, even if later it dries up, it stays being Muksa the entire Shabbos. You won't be able to use the jumper that Shabbos later on in the afternoon, right? Because it's because of that concept, Migdus Katsoi, just so you know, the Bali Musa say a very nice word. You see the concept that whatever status a person is, when Shabbos comes in, right, it lasts the whole Shabbos. If a person's in the base of Medrash and he's doing Shnai Mikra on Erev Shabbos, he's going through a Sefer, that's where his head is in the whole Shabbos. And if a person's got one leg in the shower, one leg out the shower running around, that's where his leg is, that's where he is the entire Shabbos. The Bali Musa say, you know, Migadis Katsoi, where a person is with Venus Moshes, that's where he is the entire Shabbos. Back to what we're saying over here. Our bin, that even though the rubbish has now been emptied, they did a good service, they got rid of every single bit of rubbish. However, when was it emptied? Just a few hours ago, right? But it retains the status of muksa the entire day, until nacht. So it's an interesting chap, that it should be left outside that day, unless you can get a non-Jewish person to bring it in, or kick it yourself with your leg to the side if it's in the way. But I remember last Yom Tov in Manchester, Tucker in this case, you go down the roads, there are bins all over the place, you know. It's actually quite a big sight to see, you know, the bins all over the place. It's only once every 3 weeks that it happened.
It's not the muksa.
Can we again say that?
It's only a boss's muksa.
Yeah, it's interesting. Although it's an interesting point, that although it's only a boss's, but it's got exact status as a muksa itself. So that's how chomor it goes in some machine tests. In Rechaim, Mishabru explains that it's literally got the same halacha status as a muksa itself. Okay.
Can you open the bin to pop up?
Opening is always okay, because it's not a supporter, yeah, sure. Because it's not a supporter of the muksa. It never was a supporter. It may have protected the muksa, but it was not a supporter of it, therefore it's certainly okay to open the bin. That's definitely okay. Yeah, but moving a bin, is definitely something which is always worth knowing. That actually, the first year that I was in Manchester, I had this issue, and I remember speaking to a senior diner there in town, and you know, they couldn't think of an answer, just try and find a non-Jewish person to do it, but otherwise it would actually be a bit of an issue. Let's move on to another interesting point, and that is okay. Let's move on to Hilchos. We've got a very exciting mitzvah coming on when Rosh Hashanah. Rosh Hashanah, we're very fortunate. Don't forget, in the coming month, we're fortunate to have many mitzvahs. We've got Shofar, we've got Tanis, which is a very geshmaka mitzvah. It's actually the longest mitzvah in the Torah, no? The longest mitzvah is in the Torah to be Mekayim. What's the longest mitzvah? You shake a lulav, it takes a second. Mekayim mitzvah. Put tefillin on, takes a second to be Mekayim. The longest mitzvah in the Torah to be Mekayim, Deraisa, is fasting. Shmita, but Zman HaZeh is not the Deraisa. Okay, that's why I missed that Shmita. You're right. Otherwise, Shmita would have been the longest. Especially. It's the longest mitzvah to be Mekayim. You can't be Mekayim just by fasting 5 minutes, right? You got to fast the whole day in order to be Mekayim the mitzvah. But you could be Mekayim it, very, very fair point, but you can Mekayim it just in 1 minute. You bring your father a drink, you Mekayim the mitzvah already. But you can't have a Kima mitzvah less than 24 hours. Where do you have a mitzvah you can be Mekayim? Less than 24 hours? You don't have that. Only by fasting in the kippah, that would be a way for.
Shesh midias.
Yeah. Those are mitzvahs which are always negeh, but I'm referring to a mitzvah. One mitzvah just takes so long to be Mekayim, just one mitzvah. It takes ages to be Mekayim it. It takes you all those 24 hours just to get that mitzvah. Okay, that's just that thought.
Okay.
So we've got a lot of mitzvahs coming up, and we've got one of the mitzvahs is called Shofar. A thought, if I may, which always is mechazik me, I find it a very fascinating thought, that the Gemara says that the time that you blow Shofar It's as if you're standing in the base in the Kodesh HaKadoshim. Do you recall this Gemara? The Gemara says that you can't take a shofar. You can't have gold on a shofar. And the Gemara says, why can't you have a gold on a shofar? Because in Katega Nasas Nigga, gold is for the eagle. You can't start using that to appease Hashem. But the Gemara questions that. The Gemara said that only applies in the Kodesh HaKadoshim. Look at the Kohen Gadol. The Kohen Gadol had gold clothes. It was only going in Kodesh HaKadoshim you had to wear white. The Gemara says something fascinating. Shofar Shani, Kim de Lizikoron Ka'osi, since it's come of Lizikoron. Ki'ilu, as if you're standing in the Fnei V'lifnim. When you're blowing the shofar, it's as if you're standing in the Kodesh HaKadoshim. Let me just throw you another thought, which I find it fascinating. Do you know how many times that we have to go to Kodesh HaKadoshim, to the Beis HaMikdash, how many times do we have to be Oleh Regel? Shalosh Pom Bashana, which are they? Sukkos, Shavuos, and Pesach. What happened to Rosh Hashanah? Rosh Hashanah is not Yom Tov. Rosh Hashanah is not Yom Tov, Shteitzach is Yom Tov. You have to give money to stock it before Yom Tov, like every Yom Tov. It's a normal Yom Tov. Says the Sfasemes, you don't need to buy Oleh Regel because we're Oleh Regel when we hear shofar. When the Baal Tekeah blows a shofar, we'll be Mekam and Oleh Regel. The Gemara had told us that by listening to shofar, we are in the Kodesh HaKadoshim. That's a fascinating thought. It always keeps me going. It's an interesting thought. You know, Bishaz, the Gemara is not a stomach joke. The Gemara is saying that it's at the time of shofar, we reach a level that we're actually in the Kodesh HaKadoshim. And the Sfasemes explains that's the reason why you don't find the mitzvah via Alila Regel when it comes to Rosh Hashanah. There is no, it doesn't exist such a mitzvah because we're mekayim that with the actual. Let me just throw you a final halacha, and this is when it comes to eating before the shofar. For many years, I was very used to hearing the distinction between people we don't eat before shofar and some people do eat before shofar. And I always found that not eating before shofar as very. I found it's quite a hard thing to do. It's basically another tannis. You've got a tannis around the corner on some gadali. You've got another tannis, and I always thought, you know, this is quite a hard thing to do. And I looked into the subject, and it's a very interesting point of view. The distinction mainly lies between how much we eat before shofar. Al pi strict halacha, right? A person is allowed to eat. I have make kiddush and have things which are bread-based, bread and cake and crackers, biscuits. But he's limited to up to a kibbutzah. Just think about it in your mind. You know, a kibbutzah is 100 cc. Sorry, it's 50 cc. So you've got, let's say, a slice of bread. Any normal slice of bread is usually about 12 centimeters by 8 centimeters by 1, which is 108 cc. So half a slice of bread is just over 50. It's basically, half a slice of bread is a kibbutzah. That's what the Shulchan Aruch says to avoid before Tekiyah Shofar. That is the key difference between what we should look out for. We should try and avoid not having more than a kibbutzah of bread-based food. So really, a person can make kiddush. He can have one or two rogalach, which is less than a kibbutzah. And then he can have 5 bars of chocolate, he can have 3 bubbles of Rice Krispies, all things which are not in the bread family. Because Al Pi Halacha, Shulchan Aruch and Tofri Shadi Beis says the only thing you have to avoid is more than a kibbutzah of pas or bread base. That's the only thing you have to avoid. So really, the distinction isn't between, you know, not eating at all, which I find it's quite difficult. So Yechidei Segula can actually do it, and which are people which are, the body allows them to do that. And it's the distinction doesn't limit to that. The main distinction lies of how much we're eating. It's always kedai to avoid not having more than a kibbutzah of bread. Right. Once you've had less than a kibbutzah, you can always have other things, many other things, cornflakes and who knows what, all different things which are not bread-based. There's no limitation of that. Just like Hilchos Sukkah, the Mishnah Berurah actually equates it to Hilchos Sukkah. Hilchos Sukkah, you have to avoid eating outside the sukkah less than a kibbutzah, more than a kibbutzah. But you can have crisps and all those things, they're definitely not a problem. Right. So that's similar, says the Mishnah Berurah. Huadim, when it comes to Hilchos Shofar, it's the same thing, that it's only relevant to make sure to avoid a kibbutzah. But then again, we have to remember that the beauty of shofar is that the time that we're hearing shofar, it's as if we have the zechus to be standing in the Kodesh HaKadoshim and we're carrying the mitzvah of Alila Regel. Have a good day.